You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan and Tiki on this very busy Friday, summer Friday, here in New York City. Mets getting set to play baseball. Yankees getting set to play baseball. We do have an Aaron Judge update we'll get to in 30 seconds. But first, are you ready to score the biggest deal in breakfast? Are you ready to score the biggest deal in breakfast? Because I love breakfast, and I want to score the biggest deal in breakfast. And it's waiting for you and me at Dunkin'. Dunkin' is serving up the ultimate $5 meal deal. Get one medium hot or iced coffee and any two delicious wake-up wrap sandwiches for $5. Whether you're fueling up for a big day or keeping it casual, this deal has you covered. A smooth bowl Dunkin' coffee paired with two warm, tasty wake-up wraps. Now, that's what we call a big deal. Excludes espresso and cold brew beverages. Modifications may be an additional charge. Participation may vary. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. Exclusions and terms apply. Sean, we go to the Aaron Judge update desk. What do we know about the captain?
Okay.
The King Aaron Judge update desk. King Aaron Judge. King Aaron Judge.
For the sake of reading this properly, we're going to exclude the word king. Let's just get right to the point, okay?
You have been excluded for reading this for now.
All right. Aaron Judge will hit during batting practice today. He will obviously take on the field, too. He will travel to Tampa on Sunday for live at-bats. The goal is to activate him as a designated hitter on Tuesday or Wednesday at Texas.
That's great.
The king is back.
The king is on his way back.
Right. And it was interesting that Brian Cashman said he didn't even want to take any days on the IL.
Yeah.
Just wanted to maybe take a day to chill out and see what was going on and then get right back into it in DH because it doesn't bother him swinging. But it makes sense. Flex your tendon, you squeeze the bat, do whatever. It probably aggravates it to some degree. So you get some healing with some PRP and some rest, and hopefully, you know, he's fine and not affected. But he will not be throwing, it sounded like, based on what Cashman said, for maybe up to a month.
That's crazy. Yeah, that means he's going to be the DH.
Yeah.
And it means that either Giancarlo is this really awesome right-handed bat off the bench, or we're going to see him a little bit in the outfield. And the way I would handle it is, I think he can play outfield. I think we all have to calm down, like he's going to go out there and all of a sudden break like glass. He has not gotten hurt playing the outfield. He's gotten hurt doing other things. I think that's a twice-a-week kind of thing. You know, twice a week you get him in there. There's probably one day a week where King Judge doesn't even play.
Exactly.
So I think that gets you your third outing. And then the other thing that is so scary, and this includes not everybody on the roster because certain guys are unpinch hittable.
Yeah.
But Giancarlo Stanton being a weapon off the bench is very scary. Like, think about that. Right.
Especially if he stays hot like he's been. I mean, he's hit, what, 8 home runs in the short time he's been back?
Yeah.
Off the IL.
He's been a very productive 100% player since coming off the injured list.
So, Mark Leiter also could join the team in Texas.
There you go. So we had another bullpen arm. Now, I am very curious, like, what are Giancarlo's numbers as a pinch hitter? Since, you know, we're exploring him as this fearsome bat off the bench and, well, I'm going to read you the numbers.
Remember, we just did this, too, which is why it's important.
What do you mean we just did this?
When he homered a couple weeks ago, it was his first ever pinch hit
home
run.
That is correct. That is correct. So you may recall what his overall numbers were as a pinch hitter. He has 50 at-bats, one home run.
Which was a couple weeks ago.
7 for 50, which is a 140 batting average and a 514 OPS.
Yeah, not great.
Not great. Now, I do have good news for you, okay? In the last two seasons, okay, so this is 2024 and 2025, he's 4 for his last 9 with a home run and 8 RBIs.
Wow. So maybe he's just adjusting to it now that he's gotten a little bit older.
That's what I'm saying. Like, his career numbers, like, early in his career, they're awful.
He probably hated being a pinch hitter.
Yeah.
I want to play.
And you know what probably gets him used to being a pinch hitter? DHing is essentially pinch hitting.
Yeah.
Like, you're not playing the field. You don't have the blood flowing.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to say. It's been a long week. And I think that I would not be concerned by those overall numbers. That's my point. That's my point. Right. I think he is a great weapon to have off the bench.
I mean, 50 appearances in how many years?
Well, I mean, look, it was a lot early in his career because remember, if he wouldn't play, you pinch hit for the pitcher. You have so many opportunities to pinch hit. So most of his pinch hitting at bats came early in his career. But
what year is this for him? 14?
Well, he started pinch hitting in 2010. I think that was his first year in the majors. So yeah, what are we talking about? 15, 16 years?
That's not a lot of pinch hits.
No, because he mostly plays.
Exactly.
Right.
Don't forget, you can almost toss it out. It's an irrelevant sample size.
I think it's irrelevant because the recency tells you he's fine.
Yes. Like, and that's more of what he's been doing recently is pitch hitting.
Or DH. And DHing, he's essentially become an everyday DH. Like, that wasn't always the case throughout his major league career.
Yeah, basically started last year.
Yeah, I mean,
he played a little bit in the field last year, but not a ton.
Let me see the overall number, because it feels like he started DHing a couple of years ago.
I think 2023 was the last time he played the field. I don't think he saw the field last year.
He didn't see the field at all last year. But I'm talking about, like, in terms of when he became, like, an everyday DH.
Like, this is what you're doing. Okay. You're not playing the field anymore. It was probably in 2023.
Here are the numbers. So he DH'd in 2018, it was half and half. He 86 games at DH, 72 in the outfield. 2019, he barely played. 2020, exclusive DH. 2021, 108 games as a DH, 26 in the outfield.
Right.
2022, 65 at DH, 38 in the outfield. Missed a lot of time. Following year, 65 at DH, 33 in the outfield. So double. And then last year was 109-0, and this year so far has been 28-0.
Right.
So he became a most of the time DH, honestly, since the moment he got here.
Yeah, but I mean, he did play a little bit.
But he played the outfield.
He was just hurt. I think it was because of injury issues. Last year was really the year where he was fully a DH.
Correct. Like, last year was the year where that was it.
Right.
Before that, he would still get out there sparingly. But I think twice a week is fair. And then you get him out late for defense. But it's a way to keep your offense fearsome. On the Mets side of things, Cedric Mullins has been activated. He is not in the starting lineup tonight in his Met debut. And tell me if you have an update on this, Sean. I'm seeing Ryan Helsley has not even been activated yet. So what's he doing? Was he cleaning out his house in St. Louis?
He's not there yet, maybe?
I don't know.
He's there. I saw him getting interviewed.
He is there, so he should be activated then.
Yeah.
Right. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
So Pete Hoffman gives wrong information to the midday show and the afternoon show.
Well, the Mets haven't officially activate him today.
Oh, so Pete's right.
Yeah, but I don't. Maybe they're waiting to figure out whatever the roster move is going to
be. Well, they made roster moves, though, and he wasn't part of that.
Yeah, not on that tweet that the Mets sent.
All right. Interesting. So he may not be activated for this game. Luis Angel Acuna went down to the minor leagues. Not a huge surprise, just considering Cedric Mullins is here. Who else was going to go down? But Mullins is not in the lineup tonight against Robbie Ray. Now, Cedric Mullins does hit lefties, so that's why I kind of expected like it wouldn't really matter. He'd be out there.
It was because they gave him a number. It's the idea of they weren't sure how long before the game he was going to get there.
Oh, is that the reason?
Yes. Mendy said they expect him here at some point before the game.
Gotcha. Because he's got good career numbers against Robbie Ray. Like, I'm looking
number 28, by the way.
Number 28?
Not 31.
Who do you think of 28 with the Mets? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Lugie.
I'm bad with numbers.
I got one that jumps out at me.
What jumps out at you?
Bobby Jones.
Bobby Jones.
Bobby Jones.
Yeah.
The right-hander. The white guy.
I was going to say the right-hander.
Yeah, Bobby Jones. The guy who pitched the one-hitter against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric Mullins is 4-for-12 with two home runs against Robbie Ray.
I'm pretty sure he's at the park as well. I saw video clips of him getting interviewed in the dugout.
So then what are we doing? Get his ass in the lineup.
Yeah, probably they got there too late.
Come on, but too late. He's there now. The game's in an hour and a half.
They know how to play baseball. It's not like they have to learn plays. Just get him in there.
Just got out of a car. Just kind of like mind's not right.
Come on,
we need stretch.
Body's a little stiff. Right.
We don't need
don't
to
have time for that massage, hot tub, all that good stuff to get yourself ready.
We don't need Tyrone Taylor. We've seen enough of Tyrone Taylor. So there's your update.
By the way, Evan, real quick with the Yankee game, the fellow in Miami tonight who's pitching is
Jensen Junk.
Junk, right? So my advice to anybody calling the game tonight, and for Emmanuel on the highlight segment afterwards, if Jazz Chisholm hits a home run off Junk, say Jazz's name very slowly. You don't want to have any slip-ups, you know what I mean?
Jazz Chisholm.
Off Junk.
Jazz.
For Emmanuel afterwards, and then for Dave, or I assume Michael's calling the game. I don't know if it's on like Apple TV or anything like that. Just say Jazz Chisholm.
I mean, what could you say? That sounds crazy. Jazz Chisholm hits one off Jensen Junk?
Jazz Chisholm.
Chisholm off Junk? Chisholm ripped one off Junk? I mean, I don't.
Do I get creative? I mean, but I would just, I would say it slowly.
I don't really see any issues. I think it's all fine.
Yeah. You have no future in play-by-play.
By the way, maybe it's a slow day. I'll do this for you. Mm. So I mentioned to you, Teague, that a while ago, I went through the archives of old audio cassettes of me doing the overnight, like in 2005, to see what I said about Tiki.
Right. I remember this. Right.
And I just didn't find anything that great. Like, yeah. I liked
it. Mostly positive.
I was positive.
You liked me then, even before you knew me.
It's true. Like, I was defending you, and I was a pro Tiki guy. While I was looking at the audio cassettes, I found something else, and Tommy just left the room, so I don't really care his opinion. When I was 13 years old, I would sit in front of the Met game, and I would record myself doing play-by-play.
Okay.
I have the tapes.
Really?
So would you want to hear, not a full inning, but would you want to hear some of me doing Mets play-by-play?
You're doing play-by-play and analyst work?
I don't remember what, I think so. Like, I remember I would tape record it, I would score the game, and I would just do a game.
Vin Scully here. All
right. So Tommy says I got no future in play-by-play. What if I play the tapes?
And they're great?
And Architect hears it and says, wait a second.
But you'd have to do Yankee game.
Well, no, we Odyssey's got the Mets and the Yankees.
Oh, that's right. The Odyssey Mets Network.
Now, I'm not taking anybody's job. I mean, everybody's very, very good. I'm just saying, would you be curious on a slow day to hear the
I'd
tapes.
Be curious.
Okay.
Release the
See
tapes.
What you sound like at 13.
All right. I'm going to release the tapes. I'll do some Met play-by-play for a random 1996 game for Tiki Barber coming up soon.
Nice.
All right, let's get back to your calls. Angel's in the Bronx. What's going on today, Angel?
Hello, gentlemen. Happy Friday to everybody.
No doubt.
Evan, I was listening to the Rico. Yes. I'm an avid listener of your podcast.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
So, I understand you're not crazy about Cedric, but I really preferred him over Lubob only because we know what we're getting with Cedric. I don't think we know exactly what we're getting with Luis Robert. Cedric is a professional, guy never really had any issues running down the line or any attitude. He's very non-controversial. The guy goes to the field and he always wants to play. We've had situations like that with Luis Robert.
Right.
So I kind of, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think you've said anything incorrect. I think it's fair. Right. I think Cedric Mullins is a good dude. I think that the last 3 years have basically told us what he is, which is a 225 hitter. Mm-hmm. A guy with a low 7 OPS, a guy who will hit some home runs, a guy who will steal some bases, and play really good defense. And is that an upgrade over Tyrone Taylor? Absolutely. Which is why I said the Mets got better. I think the appeal of Robert, and you mentioned some of the negatives, all fair, is that the upside is bigger. Is that Robert Jr. still has that star capabilities, plus he's under team control for multiple years.
Sure, you just haven't seen it in a couple of years. But that team control is a pretty big number.
$20 million a year, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if he turns out to just be an average player, it's a big number.
I'm not telling you the Mets should have given in and given Chicago what they wanted for Robert because the ask was very, very high. Mm-hmm. And I'm not anti-Mullins trade. I mean, the Mets got better.
Right.
Like, sometimes things are simple. It's a very similar opinion I offered to the Ryan McMahon trade, which is, were there other players I preferred? Sure. But there's no doubting that the Yankees got better, and there's no doubting the Mets got better.
And he's been good. Ryan McMahon's
been wonderful.
Absolutely.
And that's the appealing thing about anybody you acquire. So Cedric Mullins has it in him, right? Years ago, he was an all-star, 30 home runs, not that long ago, but it is kind of long ago. It was 4.5 years. He has now been traded in a contract year to a contender. Is it possible that for 2.5 months, Cedric Mullins isn't the guy I just described, mm-hmm. but actually better? Sure.
Of course.
And that would be awesome, and that would change all of our views on what Mullins is. But I also think what's going to be really interesting, and Mendy can not answer questions, is the actions will show us, is who is ultimately losing the playing time out of this? Forget Tyrone Taylor. We already know that. But on a nightly basis, you're not going to be able to play everybody.
Yeah, Jeff McNeil, Brett Beatty, Ronnie Mauricio.
And Mark Vientos.
There's a lot of log jams.
And so I'm very curious to see how the playing time is allotted, and I believe that Mullins included should be a part of the what have you done for me now mix,
yeah.
where you got to play the hot hands.
But you also have to give him an opportunity early.
Well, I think...
Don't you?
Sure, and I'm not saying he should play tonight. But I'm merely saying as this stretch continues, I want to see... Hey, if Mauricio, Beatty, Vientos are all hitting, they all should play.
I don't disagree with you.
And I don't think that Mendy should be owed because they traded for him that Mullins is guaranteed playing time.
Right.
Early on, he should play. Sure, let's see what he's got.
Right. It's almost a depth in insurance. If things go really poorly with the guys that have been here, then you have someone to go to as opposed to, we can go to with Tyrone Taylor.
There's no question this is an upgrade from that regard.
Winker wasn't coming back anytime soon. So it just became almost a necessity.
Well, it's good to have another guy that can play the position.
Right.
Let's go to Mike in Darien, Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. You know, you spoke about this a bit ago, but I was just struck that Brian Cashman said he really hadn't given any thought to Spencer Jones. And you guys came up with plausible reasons why he wouldn't think of him, but why would he not say that? Like that he said, I hadn't even thought of it.
He answered it. You may not like it. He said because they don't have playing time for him.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. That there is no, and what's the exact term he used? Because he used this last year too with Dominguez. When you're looking for playing time, and a lane. If there's a lane for him to play. Not Elaine from Seinfeld, but Elaine, like you're driving through Elaine. And so that's his answer. And it's very similar to what they said about Dominguez last year, except the lane was simply Alex Verdugo.
Yeah.
This lane's a lot more complicated because they do have a lot of players.
And, I mean, we can believe that he could go up, come up, and be great, but we don't know that he's going to come up and be great. And so is it worth it? No. And I understand why Brian Cashman, having the outfield logjam that he already has no desire to try to do the mental gymnastics of figuring out where Spencer Jones is fitting. I get it. So, I don't, people are probably upset about that because they want to see Spencer Jones, but it's the reality of managing this roster.
When we talked about Spencer Jones about a week and a half ago, about the idea of, hey, you got to call him up because he's producing, the avenue I gave
is sending Dominguez down.
We're sending Dominguez down.
Yeah, but that
I don't think most Yankee fans.
But do you want to do that?
Well, things have changed. He makes a great leaping catch the other night, he's hit a little bit. Like, no, I don't think I feel as strongly about that today as I did a week ago, but we were talking about how to get him playing time, and that was the way.
Right, but I also think that that's part of why he needs to be here, because he will get these moments where he makes a great leaping catch, where he starts hitting, and yeah, there'll be moments also where he just seems like he needs to go down, but that's part of growing into being a major leaguer, isn't it?
No doubt about it, and that's why, like, Dominguez hasn't necessarily earned being sent down.
Right.
The other idea was, and I remember you mentioned this, Sean, like a week ago, is trade Trent Grisham. The reason why I never liked that, and Brian was elusive on that question, because I asked him, were you talking about selling your own guys, guys under contract? And he, I forget how he answered it, but he didn't want to answer that.
No.
Bottom line.
He basically said no, but didn't want to say.
Actually took it as he kind of said yes without saying it. He's like, well, we were open to everything.
Right.
Which meant, yeah, and the right deal. Well, the reason I didn't like that, even though right now it's easy to say, yeah, trade Trent Grisham for a prospect, play Spencer Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Jones could come up here and be overwhelmed. We have no idea.
Right. Or he could have back spasms again.
That could happen too. So why would you
traded Trent Grisham, a reliable veteran, and now you have a kid that can't really play for you?
That's why
that's not worth that risk.
I agree with you. That's why I wouldn't have done that either.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they still would have been deep enough to handle it because Bellinger, remember, the original plan this year was Bellinger's the center fielder, Dominguez is left. I'm fine that they didn't. I think Gresham has been awesome for them. But I don't think it would have killed him, even if Spencer Jones came up here and got hurt, especially because you've acquired now Rosario and Slater, too.
To trade Trent Grisham?
Yeah, well, I'm saying that's
is
not
that
the
what
reason
you're saying?
He did. I'm saying if you traded Trent Grisham and Spencer Jones flopped or got back spasms and failed, Bellinger plays center, Dominguez plays left, and you live with whatever platoon you got to figure out and right.
The other thing you should keep in mind is, so two center fielders were traded. We bring the conversation together. Cedric Mullins being one of them, Harrison Bader being the other.
All right.
the returns on both of those players was minimal.
Right, which is why you don't just hand him away. I agree.
And that's what the return would have been for Grisham.
But when we talked about trading Trent Grisham, it was the idea of trading to acquire, right? You know what I mean? Like maybe he's
trading him so you create space for Spencer Jones.
Yeah, and maybe you get a reliever out of a deal or something like that. You know, kind of the Montgomery and Harrison Bader deal. If there was a deal like that to be made, there wasn't. So you don't trade.
And here's the other good news. Next year, and there's a lot of questions around both teams next year, but one thing I can guarantee you, I'll make this prediction, why not, on August 1st, Spencer Jones is going to come out of spring training on the major league roster.
Has to.
I expect it. Right. You know, barring something we don't expect, like he gets traded or he gets hurt or something of that nature.
No, he's got to be the Anthony Volpe of a couple years ago, where that's it, comes out of camp, that's your center fielder or whatever you're doing with
him. I agree with you because there's a lot of moving parts. Like Trent Grisham's a free agent. Cody Bellinger is also a free agent, but could also be returned as a first baseman if he comes back.
He seems like someone you'd want to hang on to, given how he's played this year.
Cody's making things very complicated because he's had a weird career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we look at his entire career, not just what he's done this year with the Yankees, and, like, early in his career, he was an MVP. Like, he was that good.
Yeah.
Like, literally won the MVP. And then he fell off the rooftop.
Yeah, he, like, disappeared.
Like, to the point where he was unplayable by the L.A. Dodgers for years. Like, for three straight years with L.A., and then when Chicago, when he first went there, he was not, like, a Major League Baseball player. He's actually good in Chicago. It was really just the end of L.A. He goes to Chicago. And he was good. He was really good. And then even last year, like, he was good, but he was okay. Like, he wasn't amazing. I mean, last year he had 18 home runs. He's already past that. Last year he had a 750 OPS. He's 100 points higher. And now this year he's having this really good season. Probably the best season he's had, or one of the best seasons he's had since the MVP.
Yep.
What is he? Like, if I just said, and Yankee fans I think are easy to say, just give him a five-year contract. He's awesome. Keep him. He's a Bellinger. But you look at his career and you're like, is it possible that the bad will pop up again?
This is an anomaly, and that he's only getting a New York Yankee lift, right? He's playing up to the expectation of being a New York Yankee.
And also, like, the idea of we saw him early in his career just lose it for a couple of years. Right. Like, what am I getting over the course
really
of a full
know
contract?
Why that happened? Like, there had to be, whether it's the Dodgers or the Cubs, somebody breaking that down.
I don't know. Was he hurt?
He also does enough things well, fields different positions well, hits for average, also hits for power. Like, even if he loses something, he's going to have value for this team in another way, shape, or form.
Oh, no, he'll have value, but do you know who Cody Bellinger's agent is?
Is it Boris?
It's Scott Boris.
Yeah. Can't wait to have a good time this offseason.
He's going
to
opt out and want $35 million a year.
Right.
Well, because now you're not paying Devin Williams, so.
Because of everything you just said. I can play multiple positions. He's doing this. He doesn't even strike out as much as he used to. Like, this guy's amazing.
He's, as the old men like to say, a ball player. And the Yankees needed more of those.
Oh, no doubt. It'd be tough to lose him. I'm just saying, like, he's a complicated one. We'll have fun with that in the offseason because I don't know how much I'd pay him. I'm very confused by Cody. Mm. All I know is that, and we got to work on this, Tommy.
Yeah.
We need to pull the clip of The Rock calling Cody Rhodes fans Cody Crybabies.
100%.
So that any time a Yankee fan complains about Cody Bellinger, whether it's signing him or him striking out, we got the Cody Crybabies.
Second thing on my list. First thing on my list is that I think you committed a crime against Mets manity earlier. You mentioned Cedric Mullins is wearing number 28.
Yeah.
And you said the first Met that comes to mind when it comes to number 28 is
Bobby Jones.
There's another 28, a fella who listens to your podcast who had
Daniel Murphy?
Yeah.
I don't think of him first.
Really?
I like Daniel. It's not the person. I don't think of him first.
No, he really likes you. He listens to your podcast.
That's fine. I appreciate that.
Did you forget Daniel? It's okay if you forgot Daniel Murphy.
No, the first guy I think of is Bobby Jones.
Did you think of Daniel Murphy soon after?
Yeah, he's probably second. I don't, because I'm trying to think of anyone else that jumps out at me at 28 besides Murph and BJ. I was going to call him BJ. Bobby Jones, BJ.
Well, you can call him that, but I'm sure his friends do.
And I think what Daniel would understand is that the reason Bobby Jones jumps out at me is because I was a kid when he came up. He was like a top prospect, and he never lived up to that hype, but he was good. So absolutely. Like, here's a game you could play. I don't know if we should do it here. If I tell you a number, you said you're not good with numbers.
I'm terrible.
So I'll do it with, do you remember numbers?
Sort of. Not really.
Sean, you're perfect.
Okay.
Want to do Giants or you want to do Yankees?
Ooh, good one. Giants.
Why'd you whisper Giants? That was my question for him.
Oh, I didn't whisper that. Was that me that
whispered
that?
Yeah, why would you do that?
I thought that was just a voice behind the curtain. Sorry.
Like, if I gave you a number, 59, you think of somebody right away, right?
59?
Yeah.
Was that Michael Boley?
I don't know. You're asking me?
I'm going to go Michael Boley.
72.
OCU Manure.
So, perfect.
Right.
So I think we always have that instinct of who we think of. Like
66.
66. I'm not good with 66. I don't know.
21.
David Deal.
21, Landon Collins.
Yeah. For me, it's Bobby Jones. I think our childhood always...
Who wore 28 for the Mets last year? Quick.
I don't know. I'm not good with numbers either, by the way. I got to think about that.
You guys suck. J.D. Martinez.
Oh, that's right. He did. Yeah. Nah, numbers are my weakness. I'm with Tommy on that. I always forget them.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.